Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is the exclusive radio home of the Chicago Bulls.
Alonso, topside three ball. Got it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Lonzo Ball.
We are Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR in HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Station. The Score.
Transition is brought to you by Aloha Restoration. Call Aloha for all of your water, fire, and mold needs.
Now we're in a transition a little bit. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are broadcasting live through the Hyundai Score Studios. Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Want to thank them for their contribution. Want to thank Evan Thomas for his diligence. He had to get up and get down here. We had a Twitch problem early in the morning, and he resolved it, and we got a chance to jump on Twitch, and we appreciate his hard work. Want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening on this Victory Monday.
Oh, yeah. It's we're all winners, so don't let anyone else drag you down. Also want to thank the man himself. He is our executive producer, Mr. Dustin William Rhodes.
We'll send it down to Aaron Andrews.
Well, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers' little pinky toe this week during a press conference. He showed the world as he took off his sock and his shoe that fractured toe. He said he suffered it in quarantine and called it extremely painful. You mentioned the Minnesota game. He was able to manage the pain there, but he didn't practice at all, guys, this week. How will it affect him today? He took a painkilling injection pregame where he said he can only feel nine toes, and he told us his play will not be limited.
So Aaron is telling us that he's had that toe immunized against the pain.
Wow. That was great. That was great.
Someone sent out a photo of Rodgers holding up his foot, and then it was connected to a photo of Rex Ryan kind of with this leering laugh. I mean, God help us all.
Oh,
and thanks to you, Ray. Ray Diaz is a man among them, and we... We're moved by how hard he works.
For me, all I know is that we all have ways that we handle things, and I know how I'm able to handle it as the head coach, and that's the way that I go about it. And I just think that, you know, the way everything happened, and again, this is a distraction that we're talking about, not getting ready for Arizona, but I understand that because this is real, right? It's I think we can all talk through it, and it helps everybody.
I guess. Okay.
Boy, there was a lot of Matt Nagy-isms in there, starting with the word alls. Thanks to Sean Sears as well. Sean, bless you. We really appreciate the hand.
Collaboration.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah,
and now we welcome in Dan Bernstein. It is always glorious to talk to Dan. Dan, how are you holding up?
Hi, Dan.
I'm good, guys. Weekend. I think I got too much sleep. I might have thrown off the old circadian rhythm a little bit there. And
you know what you should do when that happens?
Hmm.
Keep it to yourself.
Keep it to yourself, man.
You know, it was weird. Like I was waking up around the same time. I'm like, wait a second, I don't have to get up now.
I have too much money, and I eat too well.
I'm drowning in power. I've got so much power.
Which sports car will I drive today?
I ate too much and I slept too much. Those are my vices this entire weekend. And that's what it's for, right? It's what we do. And if it means I tried to go to bed early last night and was completely screwed up, so be it. It was worth it. Family in town and lots of we did an early night of first night of Hanukkah because my daughter was in, so we figured we pretend it started a night early. So
nice.
It was good. Yeah.
What was your favorite sports movie?
You got presents.
I did. We gave presents.
Okay.
My favorite sports moment?
Yeah. What was your favorite sports moment over the weekend?
I have to tell you that, I'm not a huge college football guy.
Right.
But the appearance of Ohio State, Michigan, just to come downstairs and kind of a cozy, cold morning and have a big hot cup of coffee. And I sat on the couch literally under a blanket and watched the snow come down and watched a couple teams just beat the crap out of each other. And it was so weird because for a while, is it just me or is Jim Harbaugh almost aping the body language of Bo Schembechler? Like, he looks like Bo. It's weird. Like the glasses with the transition lenses and the hat pulled down and even like the way he grimaces, there was something very deja vu about that where he's sort of embodying him a little bit. I don't know if he knows he's doing it or not.
I thought he won the game. I was telling David, I watched the Iron Bowl, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't watch it live. I taped it, and I watched it at night by myself. I'm finally, we had a bunch of stuff. It's just me and the television, and I'm watching this game, and I'm fast-forwarding through the commercials, and it was fantastic. Great game. I'm sitting there like, Alabama's going to lose. I can't believe this. Comes down to the last drive. And, like, literally, the tape runs out as Alabama is about to score to tie the game and send it to overtime. And I'm like, oh, my God, did they get in? Did they score? And then I find out that it went to four overtimes. So I didn't have any of the crucial moments in the game. I had to go back and kind of watch it online. I sat there through the whole damn Iron Bowl, and I missed the big finish.
It shouldn't take away from the joy of having watched it the way you did, though. I mean, if it was fun, it was fun.
Had I known, I'd have known, right? If I had just taped everything. Like, it didn't mean that much to me, but when I watched it, I was like, hate watching it, and I really enjoyed the idea that Alabama's going to lose.
You know what's the best thing? If I'm really being honest, waking up on a Sunday with no damn Bears game.
Right.
Oh! That was glorious.
But But that was, for a lot of people, I think, a day without stress. But you watch the rest of the NFL, and whether it's Joe Burrow looking like a franchise quarterback already and leading that Bengals team where they haven't been before, or you watch even just anything the Packers do, you see a lot of offensive football, and you see a lot of teams getting into the end zone.
Scoring points!
And you're like, why can't this happen locally? Why is this happening everywhere? But Chicago and Detroit.
And especially, that was one of the dumbest football games ever played on Thursday,
ever.
Too. I mean, just getting, seriously, it just was just a stupid-ass game. And getting to the end of it was nice. Like, okay, all right, great. Yeah. Can we eat it's now? Can we finally eat? And just whatever that was. I like to take my cue. I've listened to Brad Biggs on your show for a long time. I've known Brad for a long time. You know, we go back to the on-campus dorms of the first year in Bourbonnais, and you can tell when his reporting has got an edge to it, and and you can tell when he knows something isn't quite right or things aren't the whole truth isn't being told. And over his last handful of reports on your show, I'm getting a really good sense that his sensibilities are starting to get offended the way a lot of this stuff is getting handled. The Bears are a complete mess right now, and you don't have to read between a lot of lines or be a seasoned follower, listener of Biggs to appreciate that. But that dude is as plugged in as it gets, and when he sounds this frustrated and this offended by what's going on, it has to be meaningful.
Without doubt. And I think that's why you see a little bit of pushback. And that's why I think that it did, it struck a chord at Hallis Hall when he reported what he did about the Tuesday meeting, which I think if it didn't confirm the report that was later unfounded, and everyone can point to that, the patch report that didn't happen, and that was bad, but something happened. There was some sort of indication, some sort of conversation about we're going to fire Matt Nagy as early as Thursday. The semantics are where we're getting lost, and everybody wants to point to, well, it wasn't this, and that is wrong, so it disqualifies everything.
No.
What's going on here, people.
You know it when you see it. You know it when you smell it. And the way the Bears handled it and or didn't handle it was just obvious. Like, they got caught so flat-footed on this. And then there was if we don't do anything, then we never were going to do anything. So therefore, that made this now retroactively true. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's not how it works. And their desire to just sort of handle it by not handling it made it really obvious that they got pantsed. They got pantsed.
I mean,
I was just going to say that I think that maybe the sense you're getting from Biggs is the realization that he will have no offseason, that the coaching search and the, you know, normally, as you well know, Dan, when you're covering a team and you know that it's kind of over, even though it's not over, you think to yourself, well, at least I don't have to go through all the extra games and all the rigmarole. And the last thing you want is to know that your offseason is just going to be, you know, God knows what.
No,
because everybody could go, right?
Sure it is. And especially with all the Arlington Heights stuff. What's funny is, you know, and Olin is always so energetic with his passion for the team. But the fact is, they don't want that. They don't want truth told about everything they're bad at when it comes to football. They could invite any one of us up there, and Olin does it with more gravity and more intensity and more history, but there's no secret to the things at which the Bears suck and who's at fault for it. But the bottom line is, they're a multi-billion dollar valued franchise that's only gaining value by the day. The equity just keeps skyrocketing. And whether they win 6 games, 5 games, or 9 games in a season doesn't really matter. And I don't care if Ted Phillips or anybody else knows where Tevin Jenkins is in his rehab. That's Ryan Pace. And Ryan Pace, for all intents and purposes, doesn't really exist. He's a complete cipher. The guy you hired to run your football organization has completely abdicated any public responsibility and any authority whatsoever. He's a total cipher. That's really your football problem. They don't have to care.
Do you really think, and I'm not disagreeing with you, I guess I'm just as a rhetorical question. I mean, do you really think the profit motive supersedes everything, including pride in the product that you put out there every Sunday and every season?
I think they think it doesn't. I think they genuinely want to win, and I think they think they're trying to win, if that makes any sense. But they don't they don't know what they're not doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they don't know what they don't know. That's fair.
They should have watched football yesterday then, because that's what they're not doing. They're not getting to the end zone. They're not having a plan that makes sense. They're not building a roster that's compatible with one side of the ball with the other. They've got an aging defense and a developing offense, and when that happens, you've got all sorts of salary cap hell. You've got the wrong equation, and you need change.
Right,
that's what
a truly impatient ownership group. If we had one of these big swaggering oil gazillionaires or whoever it may be who owns a team as part of a manhood measuring contest, and that person would walk down to Ryan Pace's office and say, "What in Sam hell are you doing?" And then would have fired him 2 years ago. Because that's how it happened. It's like your guy in charge of the football. If you were angry about the football, you go to the guy in charge of the football, the person in charge of the football, and you say, "What do you do for a living? What am I paying you for?"
You'd have to find him, Dan.
Right.
You'd have to coax him out from under his desk or wherever
he is. Collaborating. We're all together. You have to fire everybody. You can't do that.
David made a great point. You know, as I watched this team, as I watched other teams yesterday, and I was gonna, you know, just kind of enjoying the NFL as a fan. And you're right, Dan. There was no Bear game. That was already long gone. And it reminded me of the old days when I was like an NFL columnist at the Sun-Times, and you would go to training camp for a week and you'd watch the Bears and you'd be kind of like, are they any good? Like,
see a real
it's hard
camp.
To tell. Yep. And then you'd get on the road and you'd go visit some different teams and you'd watch them and you'd be like, oh God, the Bears are in trouble.
Yep.
Like you see the difference, if you know what I'm saying. And
yeah.
You know, I mean, goodness gracious, the Bears are in trouble. When you watch some of these teams, yep. it's a pronounced difference. It really
it's a great
is.
Memory. It's a great memory. And it's also indicative of just how insular the franchise is. You know, they don't clearly go to other camps anymore either. They don't evaluate what other people are doing, and they don't have anybody strong enough personality wise in their own building, in their own organization, to identify what's not working and to know what they don't know.
And that keeps them from connecting one thing to the other. They have all the resources in the world. They have an incredibly powerful brand. They have a fan base that is loyal and dedicated to a fault. But the inability to translate their desire to win to actually taking concrete steps to doing it is farcical at this point. It's hilarious to see how convoluted they make their own difficulties. If they have people who are bad at their jobs, it takes them forever to get rid of them. Just admitting somebody's not good at their job, like the way people last and last and last here just because they can, because it's so much easier to let them last rather than saying, get out of here. Why are you still here? Everybody becomes family after a while.
I wonder if, when you think about all the lessons that you could learn from watching other teams, if they even consider this idea that, okay, they backed into the playoffs last year and they played a team that seemed really vulnerable and they got absolutely smoked. And then, you know, you watch what Tampa did and winning in Green Bay and winning the Super Bowl, and your conclusion is, you know, we beat them during the season. God, we have the greatest culture. Do we have the quarterback? No. Can we win? No. But our culture is the envy of the league. If you make those statements, it tells me that you didn't even watch what was going on around the league or see how other teams improve and what it takes to win.
Well, the flexibility of it, too. Basically, they let Tom Brady run their offense. And he came in, he's like, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. The Broncos did the same thing with Peyton Manning late in his career, where he was like, move the cameras over here during practice. Here's what I want to see. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to call it at the line. And short of doing that, you're not going to find a Hall of Famer final act all that often, and it doesn't necessarily work all that often.
Right.
But the idea of what it takes to surrender things that you hold on to as precious, that you have to be ready to get rid of them quickly.
But I also think, yeah, that's a great point. But I also think that what we see in the examples you guys cited are that it's still about the players, and the players create the winning that creates the culture. It's not the culture that creates the players that creates the winning. It's, you know, it's a backward way to look at it when you say we have the culture, so now we're going to win even though we're not going to have a cornerback to speak of, or we're going to neglect this position or that position. You can't rely on your culture to do everything. You need players to win, and that's how you build a winning culture and a belief that you're going to win games you shouldn't win.
I've always said, and this goes back to the old baseball chemistry argument. You ever hear about a terrible team with great chemistry? It's always after the fact. And it could be right, it could be wrong. Do you ever hear about a team? You know, they suck, but what a culture. What an amazing culture. And I say, you never hear that. And the fact is, the Bears have proven me wrong. The Bears are a bad team and a nowhere franchise that thinks it has a great culture. And I don't know why they do.
Good question.
Oh, God. All right. What have you today, Dan? How are you handling all this?
It's a little bit of everything. We got 4 days of pent-up stuff, and there was a lot of football. We had the Bulls being entertaining as they have been, and we're watching baseball very closely right now because a wise person once said, never pay attention to a team that says it is either close to signing someone or was close to signing someone. All that matters are the players they actually sign. And that is an important rule to remember. Kevin Fishbane is going to join us at 10 after Matt Nagy speaks. We'll get the latest from Hallis Hall. We're monitoring that. He's scheduled to speak now. I don't know if he is or not. Matt Spiegel is going to join us with some baseball thoughts. He's been really strong on Twitter over the weekend, talking about what the teams are doing or not doing. Midday Midway, Hub Arkish at 11, and a whole lot.
All righty.
Thanks a lot. Have a good show.
Take care, mate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.